Produced by PI Media.
Hi, I'm Ryan Levy. Welcome to the Checkpoint Research Podcast. In your home, on your desk, in your pocket, you possess some remarkably powerful computers. I bet your laptop could run circles around whatever you were using 5 or 10 years ago. Your tablet, too, probably. And your car runs on a pretty advanced computing system, you'd have to say. And what about the smartphone in your pocket? Even if we put aside most of human history and only focus on the era of computers, it still took decades to come up with anything nearly as powerful as what fits in your jeans shorts today. For reference, consider this. A new iPhone 12 is approximately as powerful as the most advanced supercomputers we had even just 20 years ago. The point is, you own some smart computers. But you probably also own some kind of dumb ones. I'm talking about the computers you don't think about as computers so much, because they're limited in function. The computer in your TV, for example, or your headphones, or your e-reader.
Hi, my name is Yaniv Balmas, and I'm head of cyber research at Checkpoint.
Yaniv Balmas and his team recently began a research project into the Amazon Kindle, a popular but rather simple kind of computer.
The Kindle is, at the end of the day, a computer. It's not a standard computer, such as your PC or laptop, but it does run an operating system. It has a CPU, it has memory, and it's definitely connected either to the internet or to your local network, because at the end of the day, you need to read books, and these books need to get into the Kindle from somewhere. That somewhere usually is the internet.
So basically, a CPU, memory, and a Wi-Fi connection. Not much there. Hardly a speck of dust compared to the kinds of systems Yaniv and his colleagues usually work with. It begs the question.
Why did CPR decide to look into Kindles in the first place? Going in, I assumed the Kindles were really basic, like so basic that they couldn't even really be hacked.
Generally speaking here, we like to take a look at devices which are connected to the internet and which nobody really thinks that they can pose any threat.
The Internet of Things, IoT.
It's a fascinating category which I think a lot of people are not aware of, and we're really trying to bring some more knowledge about that to everyone, to see that everything that's connected to the internet.
IoT devices are in some ways even more dangerous than the more complex counterparts. And it's all your fault. Well, not your fault, everyone's. We all know that our computers can be hacked, and so we're careful about opening fishy emails and shady websites. Some of us know that our phones can be hacked, so we're careful with them too. But how often do you think about the security of your car? The baby monitor in your newborn's bedroom? The Kindle you use to read 50 Shades of Grey on the train to work?
I talk to many Kindle users, and I think none of them were aware of any risks that could come from a Kindle device. And that actually even motivated us further to do this research, because that's exactly what we want. And we want to spread this all over the place. We want it to reach as many people as possible. And we want everyone to understand that Kindles and such devices are indeed a risk. At the end of the day, it needs to be considered as a computer and has some kind of risk to it.
Yaniv and his team set out to prove it.
But how to attack a Kindle?
They gathered together in a meeting room.
It happens in some kind of internal meeting that we do when we start to put ideas on the table. So yeah, we have the Kindle, and yeah, we know we want to attack it.
Step one.
First of all, we need to gain a much better understanding about Kindle internals. So yeah, it reads ebooks. That's obvious. But how does it do that? Exactly. And I mean on the bits and bytes level, how does it do that? I mean, what processes the ebooks and which formats of ebooks are supported by Kindle? And once we have kind of a mind map of all the possible flows, we need to start and point our fingers at places where we think might be vulnerable.
They pointed their fingers at one feature in particular.
So in order to be more user-friendly or to support, you know, to reach a wider audience of Kindle users, Amazon decided to try and support as many PDF formats or ebook formats as they can.
Formats. You're familiar with a few of them. PDF, doc files, that kind of thing. Kindle, of course, supports many different formats.
That kind of makes sense from a business perspective, right? But the thing is that technically, each one of these ebooks, each one of these formats, will need a completely different method in order for Kindle to display them to the user. So there needs to be different parsers for that.
Parsers interpret or translate formats so that the computer can properly understand whatever you're trying to feed it.
There needs to be different possibilities to display the information to the user at the end of the day. I don't want to dig too deep into the technical details here, but I'll just say that wherever there is parsing involved, usually it's a good place to look for vulnerabilities there. So from our side, we only had to pick the right format with the most potential in terms of vulnerabilities, which is basically exactly what we did.
Luckily for us, they picked an easy format, your classic PDF.
Now that you have your target, what kind of malware you designed to exploit it?
Yeah, all right. So basically what we did is to design our own custom-made ebook, right?
A fake ebook, a Trojan horse.
What does this malicious ebook look like to the user? Are there any signs from their perspective that it's unusual?
No, the ebook looks completely legitimate. It will look like any other book. We can place whatever picture we want on the front. We can even enter the content inside it just as we want to. So the user will not know that this is a malicious ebook.
For an attacker, it'd be as easy as copy-pasting the cover and all the content of, let's say, Moby Dick. After all, if you're already a cyber criminal, what's a little copyright infringement? The only problem, in theory, is actually getting the right user to hit download.
Now, why would I click on an ebook that just like the one that you're describing? How do you get people to find it, to click on it, to purchase it, whatever the mechanism is?
Well, that's a very good question, and it's actually a question that we didn't really address in our research. However, I can tell you that today there's a very large market for ebooks. So obviously there's the official Amazon store, which if you're a Kindle user, it comes built in with the device. You can, you know, purchase books, ebooks from there and such things. But there are also a lot of other third-party bookstores where you can find the books from. You can send a book in an email to a user, and there are really dozens of ways in which a malicious ebook can be sent to a specific user. And without knowing otherwise, the user might, you know, download it to his device and try to read it.
That's the hard part. The rest is easy.
Once this ebook is on your Kindle device, all you need to do as a user is just to click to open it, to read it, like you would do to any other book, and that will trigger our exploit chain.
In the background, a software library called libfpdfemb.so tries to parse the PDF file. The file is divided into several regions, each with a specific type of data, text, images, and so-called refinement data needed for optimizing the displayed image on the screen. Now, it is possible to partially refine an image, which means that there's a refining rectangle whose coordinates are specified in the file. As Yaniv and his men discovered, the refinement mechanism is flawed. If the given coordinates define a rectangle bigger than the actual image being parsed, this leads to an overflow, the ability to read and write to areas of memory that the user should not be able to read from or write to. That's an important achievement. But
However, like in most cases with modern operating system, that's usually not enough because we are getting the ability to execute other commands, but we are still very limited by the operating system into specifically which commands or which operations can we do on the device. There are certain security measures taken in the operating system level that will prevent us from doing whatever we want.
The attacker has access to the device and they can do certain basic things, like, say, open up and read some ebooks. But that's not very satisfying unless the whole point of the intrusion was to secretly read somebody else's books.
So at that stage, we need to chain this vulnerability or this exploit to another exploit that will allow us to gain privilege escalation or to elevate our privileges to be the strongest user, the strongest privileges possible on the device.
After a deeper investigation, which included jailbreaking a Kindle to gain more comprehensive access to its secrets, they found a folder on the device that the current user has full read and write access to, even going so far as to create bash scripting files. Also, they found a database file that can be manipulated to run custom commands. These commands, it turns out, are run with root privileges. The loop has been closed. A maliciously malformed ebook can now create a script file in a designated folder and manipulate the database to create a command that will run that script with full root privileges. All this while to the user, all that appears on screen is the content itself. Moby Dick. Game, set, match.
So one might think that yeah, you got control over my Kindle, but why do I care? I mean, you'll be able to read my other ebooks. That's not very scary. And that would be correct. It's not very scary. But there are a few things that could be much, much scarier than that. One of them might be that on the Kindle device, there are other things that are stored, like your tokens to your Amazon account, for example. Those tokens are, you can call them the rough equivalent of passwords to your Amazon account. So once our exploit is done and we run code on the device, we have complete access to these tokens. We can send them back to ourselves and just, you know, get into whoever read this book into his Amazon account. And you know the rest of the story, I guess. That's something that most people wouldn't like anyone to do.
Controlling your Amazon account, using it to buy things, stealing your personal and financial information stored within the account, that kind of thing. But there's another, much more effective way to leverage a compromised Kindle, or any compromised device like it. Picture an office building.
So imagine that, you know, there is some big corporate with a very secure network that otherwise would be very hard for an attacker to get into.
Hackers can have trouble gaining a foothold in a well-secured network. It's difficult to get your foot in the door if there are firewalls and other safeguards in the way.
But if someone with a Kindle just walks into his office and starts reading a book, and he happens to read our malicious ebook, then at the end of the day, we just got into the network without needing to actually attack the network itself. It just gave us the access that we wanted.
How did it work? Well, think about what your Kindle is, a computer you bring with you between locations and networks. When you're at home, you connect it to your home Wi-Fi. At the office, at the gym, or in the park, you might be accessing all kinds of networks.
Since Kindle is connected to the network in that way or the other, attacking the Kindle basically gives the attacker a foothold into this network.
Like a malware super spreader. The nasty stuff gets everywhere, including potentially any other devices on the network. Is this a far-off possibility in your life? Yes. The point isn't that this will happen to your Kindle, but that it could, and that it could happen to any of your devices that act like a Kindle.
What you need to remember and what you need to know is that each device that's connected to the internet is a risk. And when you know that, and when you are aware of that risk, you will probably act differently. You will be more cautious when clicking links. You will be more cautious when you're receiving ebooks from an email from, you know, senders that you don't know. The real problem here is knowledge. I mean, if you don't know, then you're much more likely to click the link and then you will be attacked. If you do know, it reduces the risk significantly.
So now you know. Even your quote-unquote dumb computers can be used as gateways to much larger attacks. That doesn't mean you shouldn't use a Kindle, of course, or that you shouldn't bring mobile devices with you when you travel. Live your life. Just have this knowledge in your brain somewhere in case you ever get some shady email with a link to some website you don't recognize or a book you never signed up to buy. Instead of clicking, maybe you don't. Easy. With more people aware of the problem and more experts fighting against it, maybe it'll start to wane away.
The point here is that we took one option off from attackers. So now attackers will think twice before they start looking for vulnerabilities in Kindle. Now, you might say that it's just a drop in an ocean, and it is actually just a drop in an ocean. But I think that as many researchers around the world from Checkpoint or from other places will do similar research projects, it will take the options off one by one for attackers and, you know, bring the bar a bit higher and make us all more secure. That's one of the major motivations why I even entered into this profession in the first place.
That's it for this episode. Thank you for listening. For past episodes, visit Checkpoint's research blog at research.checkpoint.com, and you can follow Checkpoint Research on Twitter or follow me at @ranlevy. That's R-A-N-L-E-V-I. CP Radio is produced by PI Media, written by Nate Nelson, produced by Yotam Halachmi, and edited and narrated by me, Ran Levy. See you next episode. Bye-bye.